Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Has tax been on your mind, dear listener? Certainly has for me, with all the talk surrounding the relatively significant tax reforms outlined in the federal budget, not to mention the rapidly approaching end of financial year and tax return period ahead of us. It's been occupying probably more than just my mind, a lot of people's minds. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about on the tax front today, so I'm very pleased to say that today's guest is none other than friend of the show and director of tax communications at H&R Block, Mr. Mark Chapman. Mark, it's always a pleasure. So many thanks for joining us again on Friends with Money.
That's okay. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Mark, I know you've been delving into the budget measures, perhaps even more than I have. So before we get into a bit of practical chat about the tax season ahead, I'd love to kind of wind back time a couple of weeks and get your rundown of the federal budget and some of the, as I said, pretty significant measures that came out of it. So starting with negative gearing, Mark, what do people need to know about the tax changes there?
Yeah, well, negative gearing, the rules are changing from the 1st of July, 2027. Newly acquired, established, so in other words, secondhand residential properties, won't generally be eligible for negative gearing deductions against salary and wage income, investment income, etc. So the losses which arise in relation to those established residential properties will only be available for offset against other residential properties. So the losses can be offset against rental income, but not as currently, say, your salary and wages income, your business income, your other investment income, etc. Newly built properties are expected to remain eligible. And importantly, existing investments are going to be grandfathered, which means that current owners, well, probably shouldn't be affected unless they purchase some additional established properties after the commencement date. So that obviously, this is a very politically significant announcement because it potentially changes the whole economics of residential property investing for future buyers.
And at that grandfathering, Mark, that applies to properties that were purchased or, there was a contract for settlement before budget night and specifically when the Treasurer started speaking, right?
Correct, yes.
All right, negative gearing. What about capital gains tax and the capital gains tax discount?
Yeah, well, there's some major changes to capital gains tax, probably the biggest changes to capital gains tax really in, 25 years. Those changes are going to come into force from the 1st of July 2027. Basically, the current 50% discount for individuals and trusts is going to be replaced with a system based on indexation of the cost base. And that's going to be combined with a minimum 30% tax rate on gains. Once again, there are transitional rules. So those will apply to assets already owned before the 1st of July 2027. So basically, that means that people will have to get a valuation of their assets at the 1st of July 2027. So that will obviously become a critically important part of tax planning going forward. It could create significant compliance and valuation work for investors, business owners, and trustees over the next 2 years. So basically, all gains which accrue before the 1st of July 2027 will continue to be eligible for the 50% discount as they are now. But all gains which arise after the 1st of July 2027, hence the need for evaluation, will be covered by the new regime, which will involve indexation of the cost base, or actually indexation of the valuation at the 1st of July 2027.
Mark, beyond those two, there was a kind of a third pillar of reform here, probably one that people might be slightly less familiar with, and that's to do with discretionary trusts, which are a family trust. Can you kind of explain what the change is there?
Yeah, so there are big changes to the taxation of discretionary trust distributions, which are really targeted at situations where income is being streamed to, say, adult children or lower tax rate family members. So going forward, there's going to be a 30% minimum tax on discretionary trusts distributions. So that is scheduled to commence on the 1st of July, 2028. So that's a year after the other measures. And in addition, there's going to be a three-year transitional rollover relief window beginning on the 1st of July, 2027, which will allow taxpayers which are affected by this 30% tax on discretionary trust distributions to restructure out of their current discretionary trust structure into alternative entities like, say, companies or fixed trusts without actually triggering capital gains tax. So broadly speaking, those are intended to very much reduce the income splitting opportunities which currently exist for discretionary trusts.
So lots of work for accountants then probably going forward from this then, Mark. I can imagine, I can see you smiling on camera here. Listeners won't be able to see that, but Mark's pleased. Beyond these changes though, Mark, there are also a couple of other kind of tax-related measures that came out of the budget. One that was kind of flagged a little bit beforehand, and this is the $1,000 deduction, the $1,000 instant tax deduction. What's that all about?
Yeah, so that is aimed primarily at employees. So the idea is to provide a standard deduction without a requirement for taxpayers to actually keep detailed substantiation of their work-related expenses. So the aim is to basically simplify the tax system and reduce the record-keeping burden for ordinary workers. Now, that's going to commence very soon, actually. It's going to commence on the 1st of July 2026 in the new financial year, although legislation does actually still need to pass Parliament. Whether this will actually achieve its goal of reducing record-keeping burdens, we're not entirely sure because, you know, if you happen to have deductions which are, you know, relatively high in that range of up to $1,000, you're still going to have to keep record-keeping, still going to have to keep receipts, etc., in order to, you know, prove that you do actually qualify for the $1,000 instant tax deduction and you know, it may well be that it was actually worth your while to claim deductions in the old-fashioned way. So if you end up with, say, $1,500 of deductions or $2,000, you do still actually need to keep full records for those deductions. So it is going to be quite an interesting move, but it will certainly benefit employees who either don't have any deductions or have very low deductions. Because they're basically going to get a $1,000 instant tax deduction without actually spending any money.
So don't go and chuck out all your receipts just yet, or start a bonfire with them. Keep them handy just in case. Mark, the final point I wanted to talk about in relation to the budget is this WATO, the Working Australians Tax Offset. God, that's a mouthful. What's this all about?
Yeah, so this is going to apply to basically working Australians, so people who are earning salary and wages. It's designed to provide some additional tax relief to low and middle income earners. So the annual offset of up to $250 applies to Australians who earn income from a job or business. So basically, the measure is intended to increase disposable income and provide some cost of living relief, which is obviously going to be very important over the next 12 to 18 months. So it'll basically reduce your tax liability starting from the 2027-2028 year. So it's not coming in just yet, but from the 1st of July 2027, it will apply. You won't actually be able to claim it until you put in your tax return for the for that year, which will be on the 1st of July 2028. So it's quite a way down the track, but the government does say that something like 97% of eligible workers are expected to receive the full $250 offset.
Wow, a lot of people. Mark, enough looking back at the budget. Let's look forward to July 1. Are there any other, I guess, major changes set to come in this year that Australians, you know, should have on their radar aside from the instant deduction that you've already talked about?
Yes, so from the 1st of July, all taxpayers should see some reduction in tax withheld from their wages. So the bottom rate of income tax is going to be cut from 16% to 15%. So that isn't going to be a hugely significant move. But still, it'll be worth a couple of hundred dollars to all taxpayers. There are also increases to superannuation guarantee rates, some Centrelink thresholds, minimum wages and award wages, and also certain transfer balance and contribution caps for superannuation.
Mm.
And in relation to the instant write-off, that will continue. That's actually now been made permanent. It's a permanent feature of the tax system going forward. That was announced in the budget as well. So there's a $20,000 threshold for capital purchases. Anything costing less than $20,000 could be instantly written off by small businesses. The definition of a small business is one with a business turnover of less than $10 million. So that's a significant win for small businesses. It's also obviously a good reminder for taxpayers to review their PAYG withholding, private health insurance details, and say their work from home record keeping methods ahead of the new financial year.
Mark, every year I kind of ask this question. I'm always interested to know the answer, which is, does the ATO have anyone in particular in their sights? I kind of imagine that they've got this big glass jar full of different segments of taxpayers, and every year they reach in to pull someone out to put some extra scrutiny on. So is there anyone, I guess, under their gaze in particular this year?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. The ATO has got a real compliance focus on, four or five different groups. First of all, holiday homeowners and short-term rental properties. So the ATO is obviously very closely scrutinizing Airbnb-style properties and holiday homes. So they're specifically looking at, say, overclaimed interest deductions, private use being incorrectly claimed as fully deductible, the incorrect apportionment of expenses, and undeclared rental income. So the ATO basically now receives quite extensive third-party data from booking platforms, banks, state agencies, etc.
Interesting.
So that matching activity has become far more sophisticated. It does mean that the ATO has a very good indication of what you're up to before you even lodge your tax return. So they're looking to catch people out who aren't complying there. The other one is family trusts. So the ATO is paying close attention to, say, trust distributions to adult children, reimbursement agreements, unpaid present entitlements, trust income streaming arrangements, Division 7A style issues involving private companies. So all of those areas, you know, basically the ATO is basically targeting arrangements it believes are primarily tax driven rather than commercially genuine. So do beware of those areas. And as ever, the ATO has got a real focus on work-related expenses. So, say, working from home expenses, motor vehicle claims, mobile phone expenses, self-education deductions, they're all areas where the ATO sees frequent errors, and therefore it's very much focusing its compliance activities on those areas. And finally, it's worth mentioning that the ATO has got a real focus on crypto investors. Many taxpayers basically still incorrectly assume that cryptocurrency transactions are either anonymous or indeed outside the tax system. Now, that isn't correct in either case. And the ATO, once again, has got extensive data matching arrangements with exchanges. And it continues to focus heavily on undeclared gains and transaction reporting. So don't assume that you can basically be trading or buying and selling crypto and not declaring it, because once again, the odds are the ATO already knows you're doing it even before you lodge your tax return.
There you go. Warning is there. None of our lovely listeners to Friends with Money would, of course, ever be caught out by any of these. But, you know, if you have any friends or family that might be, let them know, dear listeners. Mark, let's get on to the really practical side of things now. Is there anything that you would suggest that people might want to think about doing now before the end of the financial year?
Yeah, well, I mean, the key message is really not to leave their tax planning until the end of the month, the end of June. So don't leave it until June the 30th or June the 29th or whatever. It is worthwhile thinking about it right now and taking some action now. So there are various really practical steps that people can do. I mean, they can review their capital gains and their losses before we reach the end of the year. So if you are aware that you've triggered some capital losses, that you've sold things at a loss during the course of the year, you can basically dispose of some assets which are potentially at a gain and match those two. Finalizing your super contributions, which are obviously going to be deductible, but that does need to be done by the 30th of June, and the contributions do actually need to be in your fund's bank account by the 30th of June. Making sure that trust distribution resolutions are prepared correctly. Reviewing the private use percentages. If you own an investment property or a motor vehicle, checking your working from home records and your substantiation. If you're a small business, you can write off obsolete stock or bad debts where necessary. And also for small businesses, you can review asset purchases for the instant asset write-off availability. So, and obviously, given the proposed CGT changes from the 1st of July 2027, taxpayers should also start thinking about their valuation situation and their record-keeping requirements. And they should do that now, rather than waiting for legislation to pass, or indeed for the 1st of July 2027 start date.
That's an excellent point, Mark. Going to have to do some more record keeping. I'm not looking forward to that, but that's okay. We'll get it done. Final bit before we let you go, Mark, and this is looking forward from July 1 onwards. What would you suggest that, you know, people do to prepare for, you know, preparing and lodging their tax return from that date? Or what are some of the things that people might want to avoid doing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, substantiation of expenses is absolutely critical. So it's, you know, it is well worthwhile making sure that you keep receipts for any work-related expenses, you know, and potentially keeping digital records. Make sure that you separate private and investment expenses. Make sure that your details of working from home expenses and also motor vehicle use are fully up to date from the 1st of July 2026. Keep receipts and also review any trust or business structures early rather than doing it when it's too late. So there's lots of things that people can do, but it all basically comes down to keeping good records. So do that from the 1st of July 2026 onwards, and you'll find it a lot easier come the 30th of June 2027.
Can't believe that we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the financial year, and I don't know about you, Mark. You strike me as being very prepared, but I certainly aren't. So I'm going to have to do a bit of work until then. As always, it is an absolute pleasure to have you on, Mark. So thank you so much for joining us, for giving us such an excellent rundown of the budget measures, and then some awesome practical tips to go into the end of financial year with. So we can't wait to have you back on the show next time.
It's a great pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
That is it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.